Good evening. Glad that everyone has made it out that is here. I've enjoyed our service thus far. Hope that everyone had a good afternoon. We certainly appreciate those that host when we have the monthly get-together. It's a very good thing for us to be together, to encourage one another and spend time with our family. That is our Christian family. And so I think that was good that we did that, and I think that brings us closer together, helps to remind us of our purpose, and I'm thankful to see you this evening. Sang a very good song just now about the great I am, and that should help put us in our place. When we read here, and it has the verse at the top of that song, and it talks about, tell them I am sent to you. And so he is the great I am. And that's what we want to talk about, not the great I am, but our place in regards to that, meekness, gentleness, and humility. Before we begin, just like to say, give thanks to Brother Pike for allowing different brethren to speak, his humility in letting others preach from time to time, and I think that's good that other brethren have a chance, and we appreciate him doing that. Had a good sermon this morning from Chris, and I've enjoyed everyone singing out in our prayers. Been very uplifting. And hopefully the things that we study will be beneficial to all of us. Meekness, gentleness, and humility are fruits of the Spirit. And we want to talk about those three fruits of the Spirit this evening. We're going to speak on those things because this congregation needs that. Not this congregation in particular, but this congregation needs it because it's full of people. And people are prone to not have these things. We lack these things from time to time. That isn't to say that this congregation is full of braggarts and people that think a lot of themselves, but just sometimes we don't have the right attitude. Meekness, gentleness, and humility. The Bible tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. So at some time, we have all thought that for some reason that our way was better than God's way, and so we all need that. Meekness, gentleness, and humility. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Depends on what translation you have, but the general thought here and the parts that we want to focus on are meekness, gentleness, and humility. That is, the fruits of the Spirit, that you will produce those fruits if you have the Holy Spirit. That if you're living according to God's Word, those things are going to be evident in your life. And we might talk about some things that bring, you might say, a gut check to see if I really have these things or maybe I can improve. I know I can. Hopefully you can benefit from this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. They're to be pursued. That is an extraordinary effort made to have these qualities in your life. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So over and over, we're getting hit with this humility, meekness, and gentleness. And when we're led by the Spirit, we produce the fruits of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. We define those words, gentleness, that would be goodness and kindness in heart and actions. Meekness is very similar. The definition that I have actually has gentleness in that definition. Gentleness and mildness in heart and actions. Humility, having a low or humble opinion of oneself, lowliness of mind. Let's look at some ways these fruits of the Spirit are vitally important in living the Christian life. These fruits, meekness, gentleness, and humility, enable us to accept God's word. James chapter 1, verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So that's one of the first things that we need to have in our life, is if we don't have it, then God's word will not touch us. We're not going to make any changes because we just won't accept it. But if we have meekness, then we're going to say, that's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to do, because that's what God wants for me, my creator. So it started from the very beginning of our life. We have to have meekness, or else we won't accept God's word. God's reasoning is far superior to our own. We've read this many times. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's an incredible difference. As the heavens are higher than the earth, it's vast. That's how much more God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But sometimes we still will do things our own way when we know that God's word tells us to do it a different way. And that is a lack of humility. God's reasoning is far superior to ours. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. His ways are past finding out. He has revealed himself to us to some degree through his word, but we still can't truly know his mind. Our finite minds just can't comprehend it, and that's faith. We have to trust that when God says a certain way is the right way, humility tells us, I have to accept it. If we try to filter things from the infinite mind of God through our finite minds, it won't work. We have to take him on faith that his ways are higher, and that takes humility. These fruits of the Spirit, meekness, gentleness, and humility, aid us in accepting the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. So to profit from chastening, we need to have meekness and humility. The Lord strongly chastens through his word by reading the word itself. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you ever had a moment where you were listening to the sermon and it just really hit you that applies to me, and I have to make changes. And that's what the word of God does, is that it pierces us. And without humility, it's not going to have that effect. So reading the word itself will help us to accept the chastening of the Lord, and by others trying to point out the word to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Well, why does Paul tell Timothy to do that? Be ready in season, out of season. Because as we read on, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. It rebukes and corrects others to do that. Proverbs 9, verse 8, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Chastening of the Lord. If we have humility, then we will make changes when we are chastened. Ecclesiastes 7, 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. We look at the Apostle Paul. He was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. He prayed for its removal. And what was his answer? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 9. If you want to turn there, you can. I will be reading it. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So he had something painful in his life, and he asked, "Lord, please take this thorn. Please take this painful thing away from me." And what might we react to that? How do people react to that when there's pain in their life and it's not going away? What do sometimes people do? How might a person react to God, what he is saying here? So in other words, you heard my prayer. You had the power to hear me and to make that change, to make me better, and you have decided not to do it. That's how a lot of people might react to that. I wonder in myself, if I had something very painful and praying over and over for it, how would I react to that? But what did Paul do under those same circumstances? "Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." We see his humility, that God even heard his prayer and answered him and just said, "No, I'm not going to do that." That would be a very tough pill to swallow, but we look at his reaction to that. Maybe in our lives there's something going on that we think, "Why am I still going through this?" We've just read, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. We just have to accept it, that there's a purpose that perhaps we don't understand, and it's greater. We need to accept the Lord's chastening with humility. These fruits of the Spirit, meekness, gentleness, and humility, will help us in teaching someone the truth as well. Maybe there are times that we've not been successful in that, and it had to do with our approach. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 25. "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." So we can't go in with guns blazing to correct someone and teach them the truth. We have to have that gentle spirit. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." And so perhaps there are some people that we come across that they are belligerent to us because of our faith, and we want to lash back at them in the same manner that they came to us. But the Bible tells us clearly, no, you give them the reason of hope that's in you, but it's with meekness. It's with gentleness and fear. And you don't have the same fighting fire with fire spirit. So when they hurl insults at us and ridicule us, let us keep the right attitude and show meekness, and we can make an impression on them. If we keep the right attitude, it will help to impress those that we're trying to teach. Also, these fruits of the Spirit help us in restoring others, those that have gone astray. When we are commanded to go to those that are in error, that they've left the Lord, we're to correct them. But what's the way that we do that? Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Maybe somebody is, you know that they know better. And that might be the first thing that comes to our mind is, what are you thinking? You know better than this. You were raised better than this. I know that you know. And we just come across of wanting to, with the spirit of just kind of wanting to shake them to make them come to their senses. That's not the way that we're to do it. We're to have a gentle spirit and say, what's going on that you've made this decision, and have this attitude of, I want to help you. And that's the way that we need to come to them, and we can make a better impression on them. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Think of that, lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, what the word long-suffering means. Long-suffering means that you're going to have to put up with one another, that there are some things that people are going to do that aren't right, that maybe irk you. And sometimes there's division in the church because people were just kind of rubbed the wrong way. But the Bible says we're to be long-suffering toward one another. You have to put up with one another. I know people have had to put up with me, and that's just the way it is, that we come across the wrong way, but I'm thankful that I have brothers and sisters that have been long-suffering toward me, and we need to have that in order for the church to be what it's supposed to be, long-suffering towards one another. We see the beautiful example of humility of our Lord. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we call our King, is our perfect example in humility. Philippians chapter 2, we'll be reading about 11 verses here, but we'll break them up here. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others, esteeming someone else greater than yourself. That's easy to say, difficult to do. But why can we do that? How do we know that that's possible? Because of the next verses tells us that Christ did it. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. We could stop briefly to think about that he was with the Father in heaven, and he agreed to be a very humble man. He didn't agree to be, well, I'll be a man, but I need to be somebody that's of some great reputation. I would like to be maybe a king. Of course, he is a king, but he wasn't treated like one. I want to have a big kingdom. I want people to wait on me. I want to be somebody great. I'll do it if that's the way it can be. He made himself of no reputation. He came from Nazareth, in which one of his disciples said, what good thing ever came out of Nazareth, and questioned him. So he really lowered himself to the very lowest of man, and he did that for us. So if we see that example in him, if we see that in his life, then we can see how we can be humble and willing to serve others and put others ahead of ourselves and be long-suffering and patient and kind with others. See the beautiful example of our Lord here. God greatly rewarded him for his humility. Verses 9 through 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see what his reward was for that, is that he would be exalted above all others and that his name is higher than any other name. And our reward, similar, that we have heaven as our home if we humble ourselves and we take the form of humility as Christ did. So we know that we can have this humility and have this gentleness as we look at Christ, our example. Also, these fruits of the Spirit make it easy for us to be entreated by others. There are different ways that this is translated. James chapter 3, verse 17, it tells us, says, easily entreated by others. But the wisdom, the New King James is a little different, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It says willing to yield, that if someone has a suggestion or an idea, that I'll simply say, that's fine, and I won't try to argue. I'm one that is reasonable, one that people can get along with, willing to yield, have an agreeable disposition, someone who is reasonable that you can talk to, that after services when you come up to me and say, you know, you said this verse wrong, you quoted this, you had the wrong verse, that I would just say, okay, that's right, I made a mistake there. And sometimes we're just very defensive and put up a wall to others when they'd make a constructive criticism towards us, don't we? But we need to be agreeable, reasonable, willing to listen to someone else that there's criticism of us, that we might make changes. So we need to have that disposition. These fruits of the Spirit are vitally important insofar as my willingness to repent when I am wrong. Repenting is too humiliating sometimes, so that's why people don't do it, because that means that they have to admit that they're wrong. And that's because of pride, which is the opposite of these things. And thus the excuse might be made, well, the person didn't come with me in the right spirit. And it is important that we correct people with the right spirit, but that still doesn't excuse one from living in sin. They still need to make corrections, but they turn it around. They're the sinners. They're the ones with the problem. Look how they approach me. And that that absolves me from making corrections because they didn't do it right. And so people throw up a smokescreen that way. But Proverbs 11, verse 9 tells us that that's hypocritical. They turn it around. Proverbs 11, verse 9, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. That we point the finger at someone else when it's really we're the ones with the problem. We all need to have the willingness to admit that we're wrong. And perhaps the problem is with us and not others. And we see that so often with problems in the home and problems in the church, is just not being able to see that it's not somebody else that has the problem, but it's really with myself. Perhaps you've heard this anecdote, and we'll use this as an example. A man was noticing that when he talked to his wife or asked her a question, he didn't get a reply much of the time. So he wondered if she was getting hard of hearing. He didn't want to confront her with it until he was sure, because she probably wouldn't appreciate it. Finally, it got so bad that he went to his doctor to see what he should do. So after he told the doctor about it, the doctor replied that he should do a test to determine if she really was hard of hearing. He was to go home, and as soon as he entered the front door, he should ask her a question and see if she answered. If not, he should go into the next room and ask the question. If no reply, he should then stand in front of her and repeat the question. "Thanks, Doc, I'll do it," he said. So he goes home, opens the front door, and calls out, "Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" No answer. So he went into the front room and again said, "Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" Still no answer. So he went to the kitchen where she was and stood in front of her and again said, "Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" She said with a loud voice, "For the third time, meatloaf." This is how it is with people, is that it doesn't even cross their minds that they might be the ones with the problem. Why won't this person change? What is wrong with this person? And really, it was them the whole time. And there have probably been times, well, I'm sure that there are times in my life where I thought about a person that they needed correction. It was really me the whole time. And it doesn't dawn on us sometimes that we're the ones with the problem. So we need to have a low opinion of ourselves to realize maybe I have the issue. These fruits of the Spirit help us suffer injury at the hands of others. Notice the example of Moses when he was criticized. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and as I'm reading this, I'm not really sure if this is a valid criticism or not, but we would like to focus on the reaction of Moses. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. It only tells us that Moses was very humble, that there was this criticism about him, and it just says he was very humble when they criticized him for who he had married. And sometimes the person might make a criticism against us and it might not be valid, but still our character shows in the way that we react to it. And we look at Moses, he was just very humble. So if we have these fruits of the Spirit, it helps us to suffer injury at the hands of others. And it might make an impression the way that we react to somebody's criticism. So with the personal criticism, he didn't retaliate, and we shouldn't either. Remember, if we are serving God faithfully and someone wrongs us, remember it will all be reversed someday. God himself will take vengeance. It's not up to us. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Give place to wrath. Sometimes somebody says something, it just makes us so angry. Give place to that wrath. And look at the humility of Moses. Took the criticism with stride. Here are some of the ways the fruits of the Spirit are expressed. These three fruits of the Spirit. Kind words. We need to render a kind, helpful service. Proverbs 15 and 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sometimes if a person just can come railing at you very hard and you come back at them, you just rebound with the same spirit that they had, and it's of no value, of no benefit at all. But rather, it tells us to have a soft answer back to them, and then you quell that situation. But we have that fleshly side of us that wants to go right back at them the same way that they did us. Proverbs 25, 11 and 12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wiser rebuker to an obedient ear. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. So we can stir up strife because we don't have the right humility, the right gentleness. We need to, another way that these fruits of the Spirit are expressed is by having a penitent spirit. It takes great humility and meekness to say, I'm sorry, and I apologize, especially I repent and truly mean it. When Nathan the prophet came to David and said, thou art the man, that you are guilty, you have done this terrible thing, David, who was a king, admitted his sin and appealed to God for mercy. Anytime any of us sin, we need to have the same spirit and appeal for mercy. I am wrong. I confess this sin. I need to change. I'm sorry. Each of us need to pray the humble prayer of the publican in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. We know that when we humble ourselves before God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1, verse 9. Another way that these fruits are expressed in our lives is with a humble opinion of ourselves. We need to prefer others above ourselves. Romans 12, 10, worth reading again. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And we need to bear with and forgive one another. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. And we need to maintain a humble attitude of ourselves. Romans 12, 13, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we need to consider Romans 3 and that tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. we sometimes will magnify it in our minds when someone has committed a sin, and we want to maybe pile on and give them a hard time, but it's very clear that we've all sinned, and we need to have that attitude of, I've been there too. And so we need to maintain a humble attitude of ourselves. We need to learn humility. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's what we need to do, walk humbly. That's what God expects. That's what will please him, not self-righteousness. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Submissive and clothed with humility. Truly, it takes a humble person to be submissive to another. And so as we talk about humility, we might think of, well, I'm not a person that brags a lot, but we see that there's so much more that goes into that. It has a lot to do with the way that we react to adversity, the way that we react to people's criticisms, the way that we maybe esteem others greater than ourselves, the time that we take out of our lives, how much time do we spend on ourselves as opposed to helping someone else. That says something about how we view ourselves. Let's put on these fruits of the Spirit. These things will be evident in our life if we have truly the Spirit with us, and God will help us along the way. We ask for his help. He's there to strengthen us and to help us as we sing the song. He will carry us through. Whatever we need, he can help us above all that we ask or think. So let's put on these fruits of the Spirit, have them shown in our lives. And certainly I preach this to myself first, you second. If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel, humble yourself to God at this time. That means you have to put away your own selfish ambition to say, I'm going to stop serving sin and start serving the one that created me, the one that loves me, sent his son to build me a home as Jesus Christ prepared the way for us when he was here on earth. And he will be your Lord and Savior, and he will be your intercessor to the Father and help you. If you're subject to the gospel in any way, come forward as we stand and sing.